Welcome to Navigating to Net Zero, an inside look from Macquarie Asset Management at what's really involved in transforming their global portfolio of infrastructure, agricultural, and real estate assets to support the transition to a low-carbon and climate-resilient economy and build sustainable long-term value. I'm Rebecca Darst, the host of this series and the founder of Investable Universe. In this episode, we'll talk about the road to net zero emissions in electric utilities. We'll look at how two Macquarie-backed companies in Louisiana and Australia, respectively, are keeping the lights on for consumers while tackling the sustainability challenge of local electric grids and trying to shed a dependency on coal while keeping electricity affordable and reliable. First to Louisiana, the U.S. state with possibly the most to gain and to lose from the transition to lower carbon energy. Home to 14 of the largest petroleum refineries in the country, Louisiana's economic fortunes and its jobs base have long been tied to the oil and gas industry. To this day, virtually all of Louisiana's electricity generating capacity comes from fossil fuels. But the state is also increasingly grappling with the effects of major climate events. Hurricanes, storm surges, flooding, and other severe weather patterns threaten the structural integrity of the state's electrical grid and its economy. You're about to hear from the management of CLECO, the electric power utility that serves nearly 300,000 customers in Louisiana. Its power-generating facilities and transmission wires make up a fourth of the state's energy infrastructure. This includes some of the largest emitters, such as Madison 3. As you'll hear, CLECO's road to net zero has meant dealing directly with the challenge of coal-fired plants like Madison 3 and finding ways to decarbonize them without damaging local economies. They're betting big on carbon capture and sequestration through a major pilot project called Diamond Vault.
Project Diamond Vault's a milestone in the transition of Louisiana's fossil fuel economy to a sustainable, clean energy future.
That was Bill Conway, CLECO's Chief Corporate Development and Compliance Officer and General Counsel, speaking at a press conference in 2022. Diamond Vault is an ambitious plan to capture up to 95% of the CO2 emitted from Madison 3, compress it, and store it deep underground. Because Diamond Vault doesn't require the build-out of new infrastructure like pipelines, the company says it can bring this project to life without passing on rate increases to its customers. This is critical for CLECO, whose customer base is 40% composed of lower-income households that depend on access to reliable, low-cost energy. How are they able to get this done? As you'll hear, it comes down to the grit and ingenuity of CLECO's people, with some help from the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. Without further ado, here's CLECO's Chief Operations and Sustainability Officer, Robbie Laborde, and Vice President of Enterprise Analytics and Innovation, Sybil Montague. CLECO's Robbie Laborde and Sybil Montague, thank you for speaking with me today.
Glad to be here.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
All right, so let's start by introducing our listeners to CLECO and your footprint in the state of Louisiana. Can you give us a sense of facilities you operate, who your customers are, and how Louisianans' electricity is generated?
Certainly. I'd be glad to do that, Rebecca. So CLECO has two primary operating businesses. One is a vertically integrated utility that has transmission, distribution, and power generation. And the other is a wholesale generating company that we acquired in 2019. So the vast majority of those assets are all in Louisiana. Natural gas is the primary generation source in Louisiana, followed by nuclear and then by coal. So we have very little renewable here yet in Louisiana, but it is coming.
Why do you think CLECO has an opportunity right now to move the needle on reducing carbon emissions?
We absolutely do have an opportunity to really reduce our carbon emissions. And primarily that's because 98% of our generating capacity is fossil fuel based. Roughly 60% of our power comes from natural gas generation. And about, I'd say, 40% of the remainder comes from coal or other solid fuel here in Louisiana. What we see, however, on the horizon is the cost of renewable generation has come down significantly, and it's raised the eyebrows of every power generator in Louisiana. Since about 2010, the cost of solar generation in particular has come down some 70%. And so you're going to see generators taking more and more advantage of those opportunities, especially our commercial and industrial customers. We're seeing them asking for us to start incorporating renewables into our portfolio.
If you could list, let's say, the top three ideas for CLECO in lowering emissions, what would that shortlist look like?
It's really pretty straightforward. It's first retiring our older coal-fired generation units, and we've already started to do that. Secondly, it's for our newer coal. We have a unit that came online, a coal unit that came online in 2010. And so that's a relatively new coal unit with a lot of operating base left in it. But the Inflation Reduction Act has created an opportunity that we can actually get subsidies for capturing and sequestering the carbon coming from that. Taking advantage of that CCS opportunity with one of our existing coal units and scrubbing basically all the carbon off of that facility is probably the number two top way that we can reduce our carbon emissions. And the interesting thing about that is not only is that the single largest investment in company history if we go to do that, but it's the single largest carbon reduction method that we can take for our units as well. That's a win for us for that one. And then lastly, any new generation that we add because of load growth, Rebecca, that's going to have to come from emission-free generation. And for Louisiana, solar is really the only true option that we can deploy in mass because we really don't have the wind capabilities here in Louisiana.
As Robbie stated, the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022 is really paving the way and providing a clean energy path forward. And with all the rebates and credits from the federal law, that's going to drive adoption of EVs, enhance energy efficiency improvements, provide a lot of solar benefits. Our Project Diamond Vault, a way to reduce our carbon emissions using the carbon capture sequestration technology.
Let's go to Diamond Vault. Without the Inflation Reduction Act, that project for us was on the bubble. It was marginal as to whether or not it would be a good investment for us. And as we saw the price of those carbon credits going up from $50 a ton to $85, we said, wow, we better take advantage of this. And that's what we were doing. But really took a project like Diamond Vault, which is over $1 billion, it took it to another level for us and put a sense of urgency with us.
And I wonder if you could talk a little about CLECO's efforts to support EV transportation.
We're definitely making great strides with our 5 electrification initiatives that are sitting under Project Energizer, and their gas compression, e-trucking, light-duty EVs and forklifts, and green tariffs, and also our residential heating program. We're going to be ready to go to market, let's call it around the 2023 timeframe, for gas compression and e-trucking. And then we also plan to work with our Louisiana Public Service Commission to establish our green tariffs.
Energy generation and energy infrastructure go hand in hand.
Yes. I mean, you know, if you think about whether it's commercial fleet or school buses, we need to provide a pathway for customers to adopt, whether it's through incentives, whether it's through education. So those are the things we'll be working through over the next couple years.
You also have an ambitious waste-to-energy initiative at the St. Mary Clean Energy Center in Franklin. Can you talk about that project?
Really, Rebecca, that project was a win-win. We had a large industrial customer that had environmental regulations requiring it to scrub emissions there, and they were trying to decide whether or not to keep the facility open. So we stepped in with an idea of if they installed the pollution control equipment, we could take the waste heat from it, generate electricity, and we would purchase their heat in the process, helping their bottom line. And so we helped them. They helped us with an emission-free project, and the environment won. And now today, with natural gas prices, that project is even more economic today than it was when we started it back then. And it'll be one of our baseload facilities through 2050.
How do you balance net zero business planning with the need to provide affordable electricity to your customer base across the state of Louisiana?
Boy, you said a key word right there, and that's affordable electricity. Most people are focused on the E in ESG, but that S, that social piece of ESG, is at the top of the list for CLECO. That's providing our product, electricity, affordably. That's the number one biggest social impact we can have on our customers, is giving them power that they can afford. 40%, and that's a pretty high number, 40% of our customer base is low income. As we trek along here to net zero, we know it's not going to be free, but we have to be mindful of keeping it affordable as we go on.
Another aspect of that mission is jobs and job protection, as well as job creation. Can you talk about how the need for job protection, job maintenance in Louisiana affects your net zero business planning?
It will be a big transition. I mean, we are considered an oil and gas state. Getting to net zero carbon emissions in this environment is not going to be an easy task. We have to decarbonize to improve our economy. As our decarbonization, renewable, and electrification efforts are expected to impact a lot of our sectors and our labor markets, this transition is going to require employees to be engaged with different skill sets. This means we need to plan out employee retirements, transition our existing employees, and then provide the training necessary for these jobs in the future. So when you think about future jobs, you know, it's anywhere from a electric vehicle technician to emission auditors to home energy assessors. I mean, these positions are will be needed more to drive ESG strategy and get the outcomes to a zero emissions future.
Mm-hmm. But from where you sit in Louisiana as an oil and gas state, when people hear renewables or hear energy transition, do they then hear job loss?
I would say yes. And that's where we have to come in and educate them and say, yes, there will be some changes. But what we want to do as a state, we want to be able to shift people. Right? To say, okay, maybe you're not able to work in that plant. Let's adjust your skill set.
Where does CLECO stand on nuclear, and how do you think it will impact your own net zero ambitions and maybe those of the state of Louisiana overall?
Nuclear generation plays an important role in our generation mix today. And in Louisiana, it's about 18%. Louisiana has two nuclear plants located along the Mississippi River here in Louisiana. And they've been there a long time, and they've been producing power, clean power, for the state for a long time. It's tough in Louisiana to see a future without that nuclear energy. My guess at this point is that by 2050, in Louisiana, still have 10 to 15% of our fleet nuclear-based. But I think the technology, Rebecca, will change. I think the technology will be something of the small modular nuclear reactor size, a 300 megawatt, or maybe even getting down to 30 megawatt versus the 1,000 megawatts that you see. And it'll be more of a rubber stamped, very well controlled, very much more secure type of facility. We believe and wholeheartedly do that we can meet our decarbonization goals, responsibly plan our system, have enough inertia mass on the system to be reliable, to be affordable, and to be clean all in one.
CLECO's Robbie Laborde and Sybil Montague, thank you for speaking with me today. A final note about Diamond Vault. Not only does the company plan to unveil this carbon capture project without associated rate increases to its customers, but Diamond Vault itself is expected to create more than 1,000 direct construction jobs over a three-year building period and up to 40 new permanent jobs. Statewide, it is believed that the project could bring $2.7 billion in increased sales and household earnings into the Louisiana economy and generate $50 million in state tax revenues. Ground is expected to break on Diamond Vault in 2025, and the site should come online in 2028, a project that may be the next great energy export from the state of Louisiana. Few parts of the world have come face to face with the most devastating effects of climate change as Australia. From July 2019 to March 2020, wildfires ravaged the state of New South Wales, killing dozens of people, destroying homes, livelihoods, and precious habitat. The trauma of the blazes, now known as the Black Summer bushfires, still reverberates in the hearts and minds of Australians. Australian utility Endeavour Energy and its workers and customers experienced the Black Summer bushfires at close hand. At the height of the crisis, nearly half of Endeavour's network area was on fire, endangering service to households, businesses, as well as first responders working to battle the flames. As you'll hear from Endeavour's Manager of Sustainability and Environment, Gina Pavlovic, and Chief Asset and Operating Officer, Scott Ryan, the experiences of 2019 and 2020 galvanized Endeavour's commitment to bring its own operations to net zero carbon emissions by 2040, and to work in parallel toward grid resilience and modernization in hopes of protecting its customers from the worst effects of climate change. Gina Pavlovic and Scott Ryan from Endeavour, thank you for speaking with me today.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Rebecca.
Paint a picture for our listeners, if you would, about the Australian energy grid. Every country is different and every market is different. What's it like in Australia?
Australia's population is heavily concentrated on the coast. Therefore, the main electricity grid runs around the coast. Overall, Australia has 850,000 kilometres of distribution line and 45,000 kilometres of transmission. It's a huge network. It basically delivers 80% of the electricity for Australians. Australia is still heavily reliant on coal for generating electricity. So 59% of our electricity comes from coal and 32% now comes from renewables. We've started the journey to renewables, and it's a big step change that is required to get us to meet some of our decarbonisation goals and stuff. Like, we're talking about tripling the amount of renewables in the next 5 years. There's a quantum shift that's being planned out.
So, Scott, I'd like to turn it over to you. Can you give us an overview of Endeavour's own physical infrastructure, as well as its impact, and a little sense of the customers that you serve in Australia?
So we look after 25,000 square kilometres of the New South Wales area. We have over 400,000 poles and over 60,000 kilometres of lines, 30,000 substations. And as Gina was alluding, there's been a real shift in terms of how our customers are using their power and, in fact, generating power. So 20% of our customers have solar on their roofs, and we expect that to grow to about 40% by 2030. We had 40 of our zone substations flowing in reverse. In other words, the homes, the rooftops, were generating power and it was flowing back towards the larger generator. So it's a real shift that's taking place across Australia and certainly within our own franchise area.
Now, I wonder if you could talk about the impact of the recent Black Summer bushfires in Australia. Those were very alarming and traumatic images for the world to see, but you experienced it at firsthand in Australia in 2019 and 2020. And I wonder if you could talk about the impact of those fires on Endeavour's power infrastructure and how it affected the way you do business or approach infrastructure maintenance.
Yeah. So in a word, those fires were devastating.
Indeed.
23 people lost their lives in New South Wales. Hundreds of homes and businesses were destroyed. Within our own franchise area, believe it or not, 45% of our franchise area was burnt across. And this was fires that were burning from around about August, September 2019, all the way through to the end of January 2020, before the pandemic kicked off. We were dealing with fires that were burning for some months, and the intensity grew as we got closer to Christmas. And at Christmas time, there were three major fires burning across our franchise area. And as I said, 45% of our franchise area burnt across. So a huge amount of our territory impacted.
In the years since the wildfires, Australia has grappled with the effects of the pandemic as well as catastrophic flooding. Endeavour Energy has doubled down on its efforts to reach net zero carbon emissions across its operations. You're also developing net zero emissions goals for the company. Can you talk a little about what that process has been like and what's it been like working with Macquarie to develop and align your net zero goals, even as you are grappling with the urgent challenges of extreme weather events?
And Macquarie, as a key shareholder, really supported the conversation initially around net zero. What would that look like for Endeavour Energy? We committed to net zero by 2040, which includes our scope 1, 2 and 3. We've definitely prioritised our direct emissions initially. Macquarie has shown, you know, really great leadership. It's been great to have that support.
You've also decided to focus on direct emissions. What's on the short list for cutting emissions in terms of that broader goal?
The low-lying fruit, you know, is for us thinking about our fleet usage. We've already purchased EV passenger vehicles. We're doing up a new truck that's electric. So that's already commenced in the property space. Lots of solar on our rooftops, which is an easy, good sort of return on investment type of thing that lots of people can do. We're now looking at the next step, which is, you know, what kind of battery storage do we need? One of the focus areas as well for our industry is the use of SF6. It's a highly potent greenhouse gas. It's used specifically in electricity. So we can think about a phase out plan as well for SF6.
I would like to turn over to Scott for a second here. You mentioned automation being a real, I mean, it's a paradigm shift that's going to affect the way that you do business with customers in Australia. Can you talk about some more of these big ideas that could have an impact, a major impact on lowering carbon emissions for Endeavour?
There's a lot of great things that are happening. The solar, batteries, electric vehicles, and demand side management, and all these come together, I feel, in a real orchestrated way to help drive us towards a decarbonising. And that's going to be a real shift in terms of how power is generated at the source. Now, if you loop that in with electric vehicles, not many in Australia right now, but there will be come 2030 and beyond. Solar panels on roofs charging your electric vehicle during the day is a very, well, it's once your solar is installed, it's a free way to get your car charged, and a great way to optimize the network. Community batteries is also an area that we're exploring for people with solar and also customers without solar, having a community battery, which is a battery that we'd have installed on our network quite locally, close to our customers, soaking up the solar energy. When those panels are flowing in reverse, we could use the batteries to soak it up and then discharge those batteries in the evening. And then the final aspect I might just touch on quickly is demand side management. Most people, when they use electricity, it's set and forget. So if we were to say to our customers, the best time to charge your electric vehicle is after, say, 11 o'clock at night when the load is coming off the network.
I understand that Endeavour is aiming to be nature positive by 2025, waste neutral by 2030, and climate positive by 2040. Can you walk us through each of those action goals and what's involved in those milestones?
Being climate positive by 2040 was developed as a target to really encapsulate all the work that we do for our community to help them reduce their footprint as well as our own for nature. So it's a big area for us from a visual perspective. We understand the impacts that, cutting down trees has. It's a necessary evil, unfortunately, but we're really committed to making sure we offset that impact by ensuring that we plant the equivalent amount that we remove. Waste neutral by 2030. We were doing some great work in waste already. We were recycling poles, for instance, that weren't treated. All the metals, things that were really valuable from our network, were being sorted separately so that we could recycle them in the best possible way. We just wanted to evolve that and really ensure that we minimise what goes to landfill as much as possible. So our target is that by 2030 we have nothing going to landfill, which is very ambitious.
Can you talk about how Endeavour's new technologies are developed? Are you developing these in-house through innovation days? Are you working with outside vendors and buying technology externally?
It's really a combination. We partner with experts in the field. We've also got a lot of very intelligent engineers in the company who are focused on this. You know, innovation days that you mentioned that we have at Endeavour Energy, they're great. And also just working with our partners to see, well, what's the latest and greatest opportunity out there and how can we use this for the benefit of our customers?
Yeah, because traditionally working for a utility is perhaps not the most exciting work, but and now suddenly it is, right? You're in a position to attract many of the best and brightest innovative minds in terms of energy R&D.
It's a great time to be in the industry. I started as a cadet engineer straight from school. And as you say, it probably hadn't changed much in the 50 years before I started within the company. But in the last 5 years, the amount of change that I've seen outstrips everything throughout my career.
To what extent are Australian energy consumers also dealing with higher utility bills due to higher energy costs worldwide? And does that affect people's willingness to embrace renewable energy or to embrace modifications to the way they use energy?
If this was just a technology issue, it would be a lot more straightforward, but it's not. It's about government policy. It's about technology, but it's also about customer choices. Our customers are making choices. 20% of our customers have solar on their roofs. That's not because Endeavour Energy told them to do it. Our customers decided that they were going to do it. As they see prices going up for electricity, as they think about, I'm going to be having an electric vehicle soon and I could just charge that up using the sun, people are going to start making choices. And my strong belief is that we're going to see a big uptake in solar as people buy their electric vehicles. We're going to see improving technology. We're going to continue to see government policy coming together, but all three of these need to be working in harmony.
The government recently committed to a 43% reduction by 2030 as a target and net zero by 2050. So that aligns really nicely with Endeavour Energy's ambitions and target setting around net zero. I think the new bill, the legislation changes will only support Endeavour Energy's drive in decarbonising and getting to net zero, because it'll push other industries to also focus on decarbonisation.
We can't turn off the coal generation tomorrow, but we all have an ambition to have a transition. There's a huge shift underway, and so exciting to be a part of it. And for us at Endeavour Energy, we're looking at how can we enable that future? How can we get that right outcome for our customers and enable that future? And it's a very rewarding role to have within the organisation.
Excellent. Gina Pavlovic and Scott Ryan from Endeavour Energy, thank you for speaking with me today.
Thanks, Rebecca.
No, thank you. It's been good.
A final note. Endeavour Energy is winning recognition for its technology-powered responses to grid threats posed by severe weather events. In September 2022, Endeavour was awarded the Energy Network's Australia Energy Innovation Award for its development of digital twin technology that can remotely identify clearances between floodwaters and power lines without the need for on-site inspections, which can delay critical response in major flooding situations. Thank you for listening to an episode of the podcast series Navigating to Net Zero, an inside look from Macquarie Asset Management at what's really involved in transforming their global portfolio of infrastructure, agricultural, and real estate assets to support the transition to a low-carbon and climate-resilient economy and build sustainable long-term value. Until next time.
The views expressed in this podcast represent those of the speaker and are subject to change. Nothing presented should be construed as a recommendation to purchase or sell any security or follow any investment technique or strategy, and does not constitute advice, an advertisement, an invitation, a confirmation, an offer, or a solicitation to engage in any investment activity or an offer of any banking or financial service. Investing involves risk, including the possible loss of principal. All examples herein are for illustrative purposes only, and there can be no assurance that any particular investment objective will be realized or any investment strategy seeking to achieve such objective will be successful. Past performance is not a reliable indication of future performance. Before acting on any information, consider the appropriateness of it with regard to your particular objectives, financial situation, and needs, and seek advice. No representation or warranty, expressed or implied, is made as to the accuracy or completeness of the information, opinions, and conclusions presented. In preparing this recording, reliance has been placed, without independent verification, on the accuracy and completeness of all information available from external sources. Macquarie Asset Management, MAM, is the asset management division of Macquarie Group. MAM is a full-service asset manager, offering a diverse range of products across public and private markets, including fixed income, equities, multi-asset solutions, private credit, infrastructure, renewables, natural assets, real estate, and asset finance. Other than Macquarie Bank Limited, any Macquarie Group entity noted in this podcast is not an authorized deposit-taking institution for the purposes of the Banking Act 1959, Commonwealth of Australia. The obligations of these other Macquarie Group entities do not represent deposits or other liabilities of Macquarie Bank. Macquarie Bank does not guarantee or otherwise provide assurance in respect of the obligations of these other Macquarie Group entities. In addition, if this podcast relates to an investment, the investor is subject to investment risk, including possible delays in repayment and loss of income and principal invested, and none of Macquarie Bank or any other Macquarie Group entity guarantees any particular rate of return on or the performance of the investment. Nor do they guarantee repayment of capital in respect of the investment.